If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew and chapter 10. We're going to be reading beginning at verse 16. Now, for those of you who were here last Sunday or watched the service online, you'll realize that we took a look at the section right before this last Sunday as Jesus was giving instructions to his 12 disciples who were going to step out in a summer ministry campaign, so to speak. And we saw last week that as we looked at the passage of Scripture there, those were specific directions that were given to them at that time for that situation. But we recognized some principles out of it that also speak to us today. And those three principles, the first one was, do what you can. The second was, go with what you have. And the third, accept what you find. And we're reminded that so often in life, the devil would like to stall us from doing anything for various excuses. We don't have the right stuff. We aren't the right person. We don't like the way that we see things and that kind of thing. But the Lord is at work in your life where you are right now. Isn't that good news? And so we open ourselves as channels to Him and allow Him to go ahead and use us even if we don't think we have the right qualifications necessarily, and even if we don't think we have the right equipment or tools or resources, and even if we don't like the situation. The Lord has us here, and He intends to use us. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the section of Scripture that follows that, beginning at verse 16, and notice a number of instructions given to us, and I believe these do apply to us as well this morning. So beginning at verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, now, that might not seem too encouraging right off, but here's what Jesus said. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. This is just hard to imagine, isn't it? Hard to understand. And you'll be hated, Jesus said, by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he would be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? They accuse Jesus of being Beelzebub, so they're going to make the same accusation about those who follow Jesus. Amen. Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. For whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus said he would send us out as sheep among wolves. Let me remind you that in the United States, we are sort of an anomaly in history. In most of the world, for many centuries, the church has experienced a lot of persecution. And Christianity has not had the favored status that it has had in the United States. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we are mindful that that situation that we've had in the United States, that we've enjoyed, may not always stay like this. And so we have been given some instructions from our Lord that I think we need to remember as well. So let's take a look at these this morning. These commands, there are seven general commands that are given here. The first one is this one, be wise. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? God has given you a mind, and you should use it. Amen. We don't need to stir up persecution. We don't need to stir up problems, and we don't need to ask for trouble. We need to be wise in our day that we are staying clearly with truth and walking with Jesus. I'm reminded that we need to be careful as believers about some of the stuff that we propagate on Facebook and other places of social media. It can be easy to respond to some things because it, you know, catches our attention and grabs us, and then just share them and pass them on, and they're not necessarily true. Well, you know what? Let's let the world spread all the garbage. And as Christians, check things out and make sure that we're supporting those things that are true. For example, a bunch of fake news. I just got on and looked up some, you know, the great bacon shortage of 2017. That's over with. We made it through. Well, there never was one. That was an internet issue, bacon shortage. There really wasn't a bacon shortage. Or here's one. FEMA arrives in tornado. In the stricken Kentucky. But anyway, they arrive with vaccinations. This, of course, refers to the tornado last December, Maysville in that area, and that was a tragedy. And this story went out that FEMA shows up with vaccinations, and you couldn't get any help unless you had been vaccinated for COVID. That's not true. Never was true. That's the kind of stuff we want to be careful that we don't spread, that we're not a part of that. How about this? Three reasons why you should stop eating Reese's peanut butter cups. Fake news. I'm reminded of the Facebook post. It says, don't believe everything you see on Facebook. Abraham Lincoln. We need to be careful. It doesn't take that long to check things out. I remember back in the day, years ago, that whole thing that went around and around and around in the church that Madeline Murray O'Hare was trying to get all the religious programming off of the radio waves in the United States. There wasn't a stitch of truth in that, but it circulated around and around because it's the kind of thing that Christians would protest and say, that's wrong. Let's be careful. I am reminded that we want to be careful how we present ourselves to be wise in our world. Let me just give you an illustration of our own. A number of years ago, when we chose to begin to homeschool, it was illegal. We were living in Iowa at the time, and the state, Iowa, was one of the three most restrictive states in the nation for homeschooling at that time. There were people who got arrested for homeschooling. Now, thankfully, the legal entry age wasn't until age 6, and so we had a little time in there. But I went to the superintendent of schools, and I told him that I believe that he had a responsibility that God had given to him. He's responsible for the children, the school system, and that county. But But I want him to understand that we had a sincerely held belief that we needed to provide our children with a Christian education. And there was not a Christian school close to us, and so we were taking this option of homeschooling. Now, I didn't know exactly how that would go. But as I met with that superintendent, you know what he told me? He said, well, it's really true. You can't provide a Christian education in the public schools. And I gained a friend that day, not an enemy. I let him know that I respected his position, the responsibility that he held. But this was what we were seeking to do. You know, that set the stage for years, for the number of years to come as well. And able to say, we're doing this because we believe this is our responsibility. We moved from northern Iowa to southern Iowa. Same state, same laws, same situation. I called the superintendent before we moved, and I just told him, again, our situation, and I said, we're planning to homeschool. You know, has there been a problem there in the county we're moving to? And this is what that new superintendent said to me. He said, well, we haven't arrested anybody in a year. I thought, well, that's good news. When I got there, I met with him, so I had made opportunity to, and visited with him, shared with him our feeling, what we wanted to do, and that I was not opposed to him or his responsibilities. And so he said, okay. And I asked him, I said, would you be interested in working out a homeschooling situation or arrangement with the school, similar to what we'd worked out in the last county? And he said, perhaps. Long story short, they did. And I was at a school board meeting. At that time, I had time to go to school board meetings, and I would go to the school board meetings just simply to pray, to be there and pray while they were meeting. And a question came up in the school board meeting about homeschooling, and he stopped and he looked out at me and he said, I believe we have somebody here who can answer that question better than I can. And I thought, and sure enough, he called on me, and I was able to help out. But even as Christians, we don't need to set up and create opposition. We can be wise and to help people know that while we may not agree with them or in a situation, whatever it may be, nonetheless, we can respect them and we can go forward working with them where we can. Be wise. The second thing Jesus said is to be innocent. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. In other words, to be innocent of evil and pure in motives. Peter picks this up, I believe, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, and on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers for Christ, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In other words, there's no joy, there's no glory in suffering for our own wrongdoing and our own stupidity. Be innocent, Jesus says. Watch our lives. So that when those things come along, it is not because we've created the problem. Okay? If things are not going right for us in life, that is not an excuse to do wrong. Amen. No matter what the situation may be, Jesus has called us to live right. Now, somebody may mistreat us. Somebody may misunderstand us, but we're still called to do what's right and to continue going forward as Jesus said. Third thing that he commanded was to beware, verse 17. Realize people are fickle. Now, I know none of us are, just other people. We need to make sure that our faith and trust is anchored in the Lord God and not in men. I'm thankful for other people. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for the church. But even Jesus recognized that, and he said this in John chapter 2, verse 23. But when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when he saw the signs what he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What was he saying? What he's saying is he realizes there has to be a greater security for us than other people. Our security must be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not to put anybody down, but that is to realize that if we have not anchored our lives in Jesus, we are going to be disappointed. I don't believe that in many situations people intend to let us down or that kind of thing. But people are people. And we're all people. And I'm a person. We need to anchor our lives in Jesus. And then he says, be worry-free. Verse 19, be trusting. Things may get used against you. Don't worry about it now. God will be with you at that time. And if you're called before some council or something like that, the Lord will help you know what to speak. Now, when we talk about worry-free, worry is pushing those things, you know, from the future into the present and saying, oh, no, if this happens, what am I going to say? And what am I going to do? Now, the Lord is not against preparation. And this specifically refers to persecution. But he is calling you, again, to have your security in him, and therefore then to rely on him when we run into tough spots and difficult situations. In other words, we're going to put our faith into action. We say we trust Jesus. We need to. Amen. When we run into those tough spots. Now, I just want to let you know that when we get into difficult situations like that, it does not mean that it's not going to hurt and it's not going to affect us. Surely it will. And we'll have those times when we will be affected and we will be hurt and that kind of thing. But here again is the opportunity to put our faith into action. We don't try to get even. We don't try to get revenge or that kind of stuff. We do what the Lord wants us to do to live right going forward and trusting him that he will help us to know not just what to say, but how to handle those situations in the grace of God. So let's not worry about that now. Let's live for Jesus right now. Number 5, be sensible. Verse 23 said, when you face persecution in that situation, flee. Go ahead. You don't have to volunteer for the lion's den. There are things that could happen, but you don't need to encourage them. Be sensible. Use good common sense in the situation. I believe that God will provide wisdom and help us to know how to handle it. But there are some times, and he says, the sensible thing, the right thing to do is going to be to move out of that situation and remove ourselves from it. Have you ever gotten into a situation where you were trying to solve the problem, but it wasn't your problem? Okay, nobody but me. And realized that actually, you didn't belong there and need to remove yourself from it. Get out. That's that old phrase that had for years, you know, it's not your monkey. It's not that we don't care about people. We can pray for them and so on. But, you know, there are some things you can't do. Other people will have to take the responsibility and go ahead forward. And the best we can do is be an encouragement and a support. And there are some situations we just have to vacate and leave. It's the sensible thing to do. And in verses 26 and 28, verses 31, and putting these together, be fearful of God, not man. I preached a little bit about this last Sunday night from Revelation, because I believe that what we fear is what we serve. Now, some have said it other ways. They've said, you know, if you're afraid of something, so often that's what will control you, that's what you think about, and so on, so it ends up controlling you. We need to be careful that we are not controlled by the fear of men, what they think and how they respond. We need to be controlled by fear of the Lord with a respect to what He says and His position and His truth. And I find this, you know, with us as being greatly challenged in our day, and you're aware of it, as the people, there are people who are attacking the Word of God and saying this is not relevant for our day, and so we're supposed to capitulate to the ideas and the consensus of some other group or something else. So wait a minute. We're not going to stand before that group or any man or individual at the judgment. We're going to stand before the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to be mindful of that and realize that we want our lives ordered that way, in a respect and fear of God. And more about that, you can get on Facebook and listen to the sermon last Sunday night. Be fearful of God and not man. And then lastly, be forthright. Verse 27, as he said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. We need to be straight in our proclamation of truth. We are not called to cower and to compromise. That's right, too. Not called to twist. We don't compromise the gospel because somebody doesn't like it. We are called to be forthright, to tell the truth. Now, we don't have to be mean. We can speak the truth in love. We can communicate that we love people, but this is the truth, and the truth does not come from me. The truth comes from Almighty God.
Amen.
And this is what He has said. Now, we will, I think, likely be challenged in days going forward, even as local churches. I was visiting with somebody this week, and we were talking about this. And I was saying, you know, our society is changing around us. And unless we see a revival in the United States, things are going to get tougher for the church. It's what's going to happen. One of the things that I see happening before too long, unless there's some kind of revival or reprieve or grace of God, mercy, whatever, churches are going to lose their favored tax status. That's already been proposed in various places. And in some ways, the church has brought that on itself. I was pastoring in Wisconsin when they were trying to pass the bill legalizing the state lottery. And as a Christian, I was trying to say, we're not in favor of this. This is not what the government doesn't belong in gambling. And here's one of the responses. If the church does it, why can't we? Well, that hurt. Because the truth of the matter, I was up there, that's a highly Catholic area, and Catholic churches all around were supporting the church through bingo, gambling, lotteries in the church, stuff like that. And here's the world looking on that and saying, well, if the church can do it, we can do it. The church is also looking in the world, the world is also looking at the church and saying, listen, if the church can run these businesses, why do they get to do it tax-free? Well, that's a good question. Churches shouldn't be running businesses. But the world doesn't understand the difference between conservative evangelical churches and liberal churches. They don't understand that difference. They just look at these things and say, this doesn't make any sense, and so how come they get to sit on prime real estate tax-free? And I can see a day coming before very long where the government will be saying, we're going to tax his buildings. Then what's going to happen? will the church run into a situation that because we take positions of God's word and stand against some things, that the culture will then say to us, if you're going to take that position, you lose your tax status. Could that happen? I can see that happening. And then what will the church do in order to keep our favored status? We'll just back off on that. We need to be forthright and say, well, this is where we stand. It was only 2 or 3 years ago, I should have looked it up to make sure when it was, that in Iowa, a particular state commission declared that all public buildings had to allow whatever people to use whatever bathrooms they wanted to use. And that applied to churches. Public building. Now, I'm thankful that the courts in Iowa said that churches are not public buildings in that manner and therefore did not have to follow that. But what happens if that happens? And what happens if they say, if you're not going to cooperate with this kind of stuff, well, then we'll make you pay the tax. I don't know. All I'm saying that is going forward, we can't compromise. And we will need to continue to be forthright. I'm reminded also of a story a number of years ago. Peter Cartwright. Remember Peter Cartwright? How many of you read his biography? How many of you heard of Peter Cartwright? I just mentioned him, so you should all know. Anyway, Peter Cartwright was a church planter and evangelist and so on in the Methodist Church a long time ago, 1800s. And he was a very, very dynamic individual. If you read his autobiography or his biography, I'm not sure whether he wrote it or not, but anyway, it's really quite interesting. He did some things that I'm not sure I'd have the guts to do. But anyway, he did. It was like one time he was listening. I don't know if you should copy this, but one time he was riding along on the frontier with a fellow who was bragging about beating up a Methodist preacher. And Cartwright said, oh, really? He said, where'd this happen? He said, well, actually, the guy said, we're not very far away from it. It's just right over there. So Cartwright said, can we ride over there and look at the site? And he said, sure. So they rode over there and got off their horses, and Cartwright beat him up. like I said, I'm not sure that that's the kind of thing we should follow. But he was a frontier evangelist, and he was preaching in a particular church at one time. And Andrew Jackson, president of the United States, came into the church. Sat down and took a seat. And Cartwright was known for his very bold forthrightness. And the preacher is sitting back there in the chair, sees Jackson come in, and he goes up there and he pulls on Cartwright's coattails. And he says, Andrew Jackson just came in. And Cartwright looks at him and says, it doesn't matter if the President of the United States is in the service. I'm going to proclaim the Word of God. By the way, after the service, Andrew Jackson complimented them for not compromising the truth because of a particular person, but being forthright in the proclamation of the Word of God. As we go forward, these are directions for us. We don't know what next year will hold or 5 years from now or something like that, but we need to make these things a part of our practice now so it is just regular when that time comes. Be wise. Be innocent. Stay pure. Be aware of what's going on. Maintain faith. Be sensible. Seek to please God, to fear Him, and to be forthright with the truth.